Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite a few years ago, Larry and I took a vacation in the Southwest. We went to New Mexico and Arizona, and the landscape looked very dry to me. Everything was shriveled, but I wasn't familiar enough with that part of the country to know whether it was like that normally or whether I was seeing some signs of a special drought. However, there were actual written signs that encouraged us to save water or reuse towels, and in restaurants, water was not served unless you asked specifically for it. This was indeed a drought, and all the signs pointed to it. Like the American Southwest, the Middle East of Bible times, and even today, is no stranger to drought. In a dry and dusty land, a pitcher of water is a gift, and a well is a blessing. A friend of mine from seminary regularly went on archaeological digs in Jordan, and she blogged, "Because water is so scarce in Jordan, you are instructed to turn on the shower, get wet, turn it off to lather up, and then turn it on again briefly to rinse." And all of this, she said, is a somber reminder of how lucky and wasteful we are about water in our country. We use the same water for toilets, showers, and laundry that we use for drinking and cooking. And many parts of the world don't even have clean drinking water, and they would be appalled that we use such clean water for flushing toilets. I hope it will make me more conscientious about water use when I get home, she said. It is in a setting like this, in a dry land, that God describes God's self as the fountain of living water. In a land of drought, God brings the life and the refreshment of water. And the shocking thing is, God's people do not want the water. The prophet Jeremiah's work began during the reign of the king Josiah, who was a devout follower of God and a religious reformer, and he sought to eliminate all external cults and practices. And he had all of the religious shrines that were outside of Jerusalem, he had them destroyed, and he centralized worship at the Jerusalem temple. But Josiah died tragically, and his successors were not so committed to Yahweh. And leaders once again began to rely on other gods. And they also began to rely on other ruling powers, like Egypt, to protect the land from the rising strength of the Babylonian Empire. Signs of spiritual drought were manifesting themselves in the country. And today's passage is deeply rooted in this situation. God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah and reminding the people of their history together. God has been faithful. God has brought the people out of slavery in Egypt. God led them in the wilderness. God brought them into a land of plenty. The people, however, have been faithless. And God said, "You have defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination." And usually that word abomination suggests they have been offering sacrifices to other gods. All the leaders have abandoned God, priests, rulers, other prophets. And so God accuses the people. God indicts them and says they are changing their gods. And when God says this, God sounds pretty baffled. "What wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me?" That's the primary issue, because there is no reason for the people to have acted as they did. God has not failed them. God has not abandoned them. But the people have gone after worthless things and become worthless themselves. They've gone after things that do not profit. They have forsaken the fountain of living water And they have dug out cisterns for themselves, but the cisterns they have made are cracked. They can hold no water. And so the people are dying of spiritual thirst. They have been called the people of God, but they have not sought after God. They have not asked, "Where is the Lord?" And this is a symptom of their spiritual decline, that they have not sought God. They have turned from God. They're being inappropriately self-sufficient, relying on themselves, and they are also turning to other gods, so-called gods. They have not asked, "Where is God?" Now, some of us might worry that to ask, "Where is God?" might be questioning what are God's purposes. But Jeremiah wants us to know that questioning the works and the presence of God can be a faithful activity. Asking, "Where is the Lord?" is part of a healthy relationship with God. If we ask this question, if we look for God, we're showing that we are committed to staying in a relationship. But if we do not ask, if we do not search for God, we assume that God cannot be found. We're turning away from God. We're not giving God a chance to reveal God's self. If we don't seek after God, we are choosing to stay in a desert land. We are deliberately turning from the fountain of living water. Long ago, God provided water in the wilderness, and God can again supply water, but the people are refusing to ask God for help. Likewise, in the gospel, people are turning down an invitation to a great banquet, and this is obviously an image of God throwing a banquet for everyone. These people are spiritually hungry, and yet they are refusing nourishment. They are not going where God is to be found. The cracked cisterns that we have made are not enough. And the powers that we lift up in the place of God may be distracting. They may be enticing. They may promise instant relief or economic security. They may offer entertainment and pleasure, but they are not God. We are a forgetful people, and we need reminders. We need reminders to save water in a land of drought. And we need reminders to seek living water in times of spiritual drought. We need reminders to attend the banquet that only God can provide. Now, there may not be actual written signs posted all around us reminding us to ask, "Where is the Lord?" But we do have the Word of God coming to us from Jeremiah, encouraging us to seek the Lord and expect to find living water. We have the Word of God, Jesus Christ, whose sign we have been marked with at our baptism. We have been given living water. Are you thirsty? Are you seeking meaning? Don't rely on cracked cisterns. Don't rely solely on your own resources. Trust in the Lord our God who made heaven and earth, our God who in mercy relieves our thirst, who gives us a fountain of living water. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.